A little sausage. Kind of looks like some people's peepees. Good evening, everybody. Little sausage for everybody tonight. You think WWE's teasing a little NXT invasion storyline for Raw, for SmackDown, leading into Survivor Series? I don't know. Maybe a little sausage. Maybe a little sausage. We'll see what happens. Did you see that little teaser at the very end? Was that Dexter Lumis? I walked into this room, and anybody that knows me knows that Dexter Lumis was my favorite NXT star before he was released. My first couple of years ago was Keith Lee. Then it obviously moved to Karrion Kross for obvious reasons, but then it was Dexter Lumis. He was let go. Fightful reported earlier today that WWE is seriously considering bringing back Mr. Lumis. Now, I don't know if that was him. You know, you have to pay close attention now to WWE television. Little Easter eggs. If you don't spot it closely, you don't see it coming sometimes, and they might amount to nothing. But did you see this one earlier today? Kevin Owens cutting a promo? No, the Easter egg is not Kevin Owens. Almost a good driver. Look to the left of Kevin Owens. There is a car crashed into a divider. Did someone show up in a rage, crashed the car, and left? No, I don't think that was Doudrop or Nikki Ash's car. But if you look the backstage segments, there was a few camera shots of that crashed car earlier. Right after AJ Styles beat The Miz in the no DQ match, it looked like somebody was trying to charge the ring and security was holding him back. And my fiance, because I was in here getting ready for the show, my fiance like, I think Dexter Lumis is on TV. Because we were talking about it earlier, because Fightful reported WWE is looking to bring him back. Was that Dexter Lumis? Now, understand something for everybody that's catching this on a replay. I go live literally 3 minutes, 4 minutes after Raw goes off the air. So I don't even have time to do any last minute checking or anything like that. But it appeared to be Dexter Lumis. So my question to you is, could we see a little NXT invasion storyline? Could very well happen. We will see what happens. But welcome, everyone, to your WWE post-Raw show. I am Don Tony, as always. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Awesome that you could be here for a little while. We'll spend about 60 to 75 minutes tonight. I don't think we really need to overkill it. Yesterday, we had a tremendous sit-down episode, some spectacular questions. Yeah, I didn't realize how much we ended up being right last week talking about Triple H and WWE about to announce. That was 1 week ago. WWE and Triple H about to announce the women's tag team title situation. No press, no nothing. I don't do it for them. I do it for all of you. And sure enough, on Friday, they announced that tonight we were going to get the start of the women's tag team tournament, and it did start tonight. Now, before we get into Raw, let's talk a little bit about the brackets for the women's tag team tournament. I'll be totally honest with you. A little bit underwhelming. I think a little bit underwhelming. From what I understand, Queen Zelina is not ready to return yet. That's why we do not have Carmella and Queen Zelina in this tournament. Not as if it was going to kind of like amp up the tournament that much more. But on the left side, and that was the match we had tonight, we had Tamina and Dana Brooke taking on Io Sky and Dakota Kai, which are the odds-on favorites to win this. I think it's pretty obvious. Alexa Bliss and Asuka will take on Nikki Ash and Doudrop next week on Raw. Now, on the opposite side, we have Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah, which is obviously a really makeshift team, but pretty cool. If you look on the right side, with the exception of, even though Natalya made a little cameo in NXT, but you look at that right side, and a lot of it is NXT. You know, Xia Li, Shotzi, you know, had probably their best run in NXT. I don't think there's any question of that. They will be taking on Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah in the first round. And then on the opposite brackets, look at that. Natalya and Sonya Deville will be teaming up, and they will be facing Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark. Now, I do not see Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark advancing in this. It would be absolute shocker. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of Mandy Rose maybe interferes, causes Zoe to lose to try to bleed into NXT 2.0. But those are your brackets. And again, you know, it's underwhelming. And let's all be respectful about this, but let's be honest. You know the women's division in WWE. You know what tag teams we have and what we don't have. You know, if you really looked at the women's division, you know that this is pretty much all they can give. It's all they can give. You know, Bayley is not going to be focused on a tag team championship. Obviously, we will talk a little bit later about Naomi and Sasha. You know, a lot of controversy this weekend with Sasha, but it ended the right way, and we'll talk about that. But look, I know it's old news for the family, but we said 4 or 5 weeks ago that if WWE does this women's tag team tournament, wouldn't that be something if Naomi and Sasha show up after the new champions are crowned? How many times did I say it could be like CM Punk and John Cena all over again, titles versus titles? That was 5 weeks ago that we were saying that. Now people are starting to catch on. I wonder. So we'll see. And how pretty cool, that would be pretty cool to see Bayley on Sasha on opposite sides. Obviously, Bayley would not be going for the tag titles, but it could ultimately be Io Sky and Dakota Kai taking on Sasha and Naomi. If they return. If they return. Big if. So that is your women's tag team tournament. You know, nothing to write home about, but at least the titles are back. And at least under Triple H's reign, some of those teams that you may not care about right now, a month from now, you may feel otherwise. So let's give it a shot. You know, I'm not going to be one of those that's going to, you know, you see some of these over-the-top people towards Tony Khan, they post that graphic where it looks like he's looking at the heavens, that he's parting the waters. I'm not going to look that way with Triple H. Triple H has been in this company since the mid-90s. Triple H has not been an outsider. He hasn't been like, hey, boss, how's about we do it? Shut up! Hey, boss, why don't we do this? Shut up! Triple H has been part of the machine. Triple H keeps saying in interviews over and over and over again, ow! Keeps saying over and over and over again that it's a team effort. If it's not broken, you don't try to fix it. Triple H is trying to satisfy investors, stockholders, advertisers, networks, fans. That internet wrestling community noise out there that think that Triple H is listening to them. Hey, I heard what you said. Thank you for the kind words. Those are the last people on the list that they care about. Because some people out there, they always got to interject. Hey, that's the job of some people out there. But, you know, let's take a step back and let's see what transpires. Now, some news coming out of today. Could this be the end of the Ezekiel character? Was he written off for TV so he can have time to grow the beard and return as Elias? Now, yes, I am with all of you that he can return as Elias sooner with the glued stuff. But it's only a matter of time, especially when you're sweating. If he starts getting scruff underneath, listen, anyone out there that's ever worn a fake beard when you glue it to your skin? Now, Hollywood, they could pull off anything. But one of the things that you really have to do is have, you know, it helps when your skin is completely smooth, shaven, clean, no oil, all of that could interfere with the adhesive process. So I don't think WWE really would want to have Ezekiel shaved to just keep going out there wearing a glued beard. I think with the stretcher job, this writes him up. Look, Ezekiel, if he's one of those that could grow a beard fast, it only take probably a couple of weeks. You know, you got a 5 o'clock shadow. 2 days from now, he might show, you know, a decent amount of shadow on his face. You give Ezekiel 3 weeks, no shaving, he could grow back his beard. It won't be obviously as thick as what he was with Elias, but this might be the end of the Ezekiel character. And look, when he comes out today, no entrance, no nothing, and he's in the ring, yeah, looking at the fans, let's go. That's when you know that, yeah, his days on TV might be numbered. So, and I got news for you, I'm happy if the Elias character comes back. There was no reason to, you know, to mix it up. I mean, they did all the skits, him burning stuff and the death of Elias and this and that. You know, that guy used to get under people's skin. Yeah, it got old after a while. And that's obviously the challenge for WWE Creative and Elias himself. So, you know, let's give it some time. Let's see if he disappears for a couple of weeks. Now, if I was WWE, you know, if you're going to have Ezekiel grow the beard back and come back as Elias, they should be recording segments right now. While Ezekiel is clean-shaven, they should record segments right now and air it 3-4 weeks from now where Ezekiel says that, you know, my brother's coming back. You know, they could do something where he's laid out or if he's got an injury or something and he's in the back and my brother's something. They could have Ezekiel at home, you know, and just film something. Do it now. Film the segments. Tease Elias coming back. Then you give him time to, we'll see what happens. Hey, the fact that we're even talking about Elias or Ezekiel right now, how many episodes recently have we talked about the guy at all? Just like Veer. I joked today. I said, Veer is coming. Because people quickly forgot about Veer. You know, there's some wrestlers that are just flat out disappeared. Now, as far as Austin Theory, whatever you want to call him, I think he will get his first name back. That probably will bleed over into SmackDown more than anything else. He's still selling what happened with SummerSlam. So now, some more sausage. If you saw the preview for tonight's show over here, I wrote it a couple of days ago. We talked about it last week and a week before. And look, I'm not going to dare try to insult your intelligence to say, yeah, we were right. Dominic is going to turn on Ray. Everybody and their mother by now thinks Dominic is going to turn on Ray. But the storyline that we expected to have, and that was the sausage that we prepared, is Dominic and Ray would fight over Edge. They would argue over Edge. Ray would take the side of Edge and Dominic, familia. Dominic would be, that's it. That breaks the bond. The minute Ray, we talked about it yesterday, the minute Ray takes Edge's side over Dominic, you put Edge before familia. So did Ray, or did Dominic today in storyline get beat up? Yeah. You know, some people thought, oh, they're going to do this thing where Dominic, it was just a makeup job and Rhea didn't really beat the shit out of him. No, they wouldn't have showed him being tended with by the doctor in the back. The doctor is checking and everything. You know, that is showing that he really got beat up. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I'm not saying that there's going to be a love storyline with Rhea Ripley and Dominic, but I get this weird vibe that Rhea Ripley is going to be like dominant over Dominic. It kind of sounds, it's got a catchy sound to it. Dominant over Dominic. No, I don't expect her to bring out a whip and chains, you pervs. Get that off your mind. This is WWE TV PG programming with a little bit of TV 14 ultimately. We already talked about that. But I think we may see a little bit of an infatuation with Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley. I don't know why. I'm still holding out hope now that we get Nikki Ash and Doudrop, the double date with Alpha Academy. Just, I know, I listen, it's still PG. It's still family-friendly entertainment. It's still, you're still going to see a little bit of Goofy once in a while. You're going to see some lighthearted humor once in a while. Thank God we really have not had any antics with the 24/7 title. I'm very curious to see what they do with that. Triple H has still not showed his hand with the 24/7 title. But, you know, you're going to see a little bit of lighthearted humor still. You're not going to alienate, you know, that portion of your audience. Not everybody is over the age of 25, you know, and have to see. TVPG can be cool. But, you know, when you look at the whole scenario, you know, we're going to see some changes, obviously. But you're going to see some skits. And I personally want to see Doudrop and Otis pigging out at a restaurant. And Chad and Nikki S. just looking at them like, yeah. You know, anybody out there that thinks you can't do little skits like that anymore, come on, man. Seriously. I don't want no fucking Ring of Honor or NXT type vibes for the whole entire duration of a show. No fucking way. No way. So, let's run down Raw a little bit tonight, and then we'll get into the Sasha Banks controversy. Now, you know, I have to make a disclaimer. I wrote it on social media, so I hope people understand. This is a photoshopped picture that I did. I photoshopped it to make it look legit 6 feet apart. Instead of C2E2, it's C6E6, because there was a lot of controversy with Sasha Banks for the first half of C2E2 and some of the pictures she was taking. This is to mock it, because I'll be honest with you, I'll give you a little spoiler right now. I'm going to defend Sasha Banks pretty much for everything this weekend. But you could see after 24 hours, Sasha Banks made a concerted decision to change something up at C2E2. And I'll show you the photos to back it up. Let me also say one other thing before we run down the matches. Ciampa, I loved it tonight. I loved how he paid tribute to Harley Race. Yes, it was the anniversary of his passing. And yes, Ciampa was trained by Harley Race. There is a relationship there. He dedicated his match tonight to Harley Race. Ciampa came out wearing Harley Race's robe. Yes, it was a losing effort. Now, I didn't have time to pull Harley Race promos for tonight, but Harley Race, in defeats to Ric Flair and others in his career, Harley Race has cut some legendary promos about losing. You can't always win. You don't always win. And if you get knocked down, you get your ass back up and you try to go one step harder. Ciampa tonight, even though he lost, He won. First of all, his entrance music. I love his entrance music. It gives me Ozzy Osbourne vibes. That sounds like music that you would hear 20, 30 years ago at an indie wrestling event. That music sounds like a fucking awesome wrestling theme music. It doesn't sound like a CFO generic, let me just pull this. Shit, did anybody ever listen closely to my sit-down theme? It sounds almost identical to Tony D'Angelo's theme. And I have that theme before Tony D'Angelo. So I didn't steal it from him. But too many people have generic themes. That music tonight, I know some of you didn't like it. I know some of you want his NXT music, but I freaking loved it. It gave me such Ozzy Osbourne vibes when I heard it today. Spectacular. But he put on a great performance against Lashley. Now, do I think Ciampa should have won the U.S. title tonight? No, absolutely not. Ciampa doesn't have that good connection with the fans yet. But you know what? He got respect tonight because Ciampa praised Harley Race. Ciampa celebrated Harley Race. Ciampa, even though he's a heel, was cutting a promo showing respect. And yes, in wrestling, you can be respectful and be a heel. That's what fucking Harley Race was. That's what a lot of wrestlers were back in the day. That is the Triple H influence, without a doubt. Even if Vince McMahon was still in creative and wanted to give Ciampa this opportunity and gave him the same amount of time, I guarantee you, you would have not have heard that promo tonight. But Ciampa got a nice reaction from the crowd. Ciampa is great on the mic, and he had a great performance against Lashley. He got his foot in the door. He kicked the door down. Ciampa definitely established himself tonight that he belongs on the main roster. Take it slow. Just because he Triple H's guy, you don't want to start getting that vibe like, oh, they did this, they that did that. No. You know, take it slow. What's the rush? You know, just put your foot in the door, little baby steps, feel the water. Feels good. Don't no reason to jump right in and cannonball it and splash everybody. You know, you want the slow burn. This way, if Ciampa breaks away from The Miz ultimately, you know, then it kind of means something to the fans out there. So Ciampa and Lashley had a great match. And WWE, you know, you could see the obvious effects that we're getting longer matches. And even when matches do have a little bit of clusterfuck, you know, it doesn't over... Here's the difference. Here's the difference that I have seen. Now, yes, last week, the women's match between Bianca and Io Sky ended in a no contest, technically disqualification. But, you know, for the most part, even when Miz and AJ Styles ran back in the ring and the referee looks like a fool, like what the fuck is going on, it didn't cause any difference to the outcome. You know, sometimes you have a spectacular match and it ultimately just gets totally, you know, off the rails because of dumb interferences. You know, you're going to have clusterfucks. We had it in the Attitude Era. We had it in the Ruthless Aggression Era. And again, Triple H is not this crazy outsider that people want you to think he is. First, they told you he was a dunce. Then they told you he was a clown. Then they told you he had no creed in WWE anymore, and they were being erasing his legacy. Now they think that Triple H is going to turn shit upside down because this tiny little noise on the internet said so. No, it's not going to happen. We brought it up yesterday. The stock. All the buzz was about the stock. How many people told you the stock was going to tank when Vince McMahon retired? How many told you the stock was going to soar to new numbers, record highs, with Triple H at the helm? Energy, hope, excitement. Yeah, that doesn't equal revenue, morons. The stock, since Vince McMahon retired, is up $1. As we showed you yesterday, $1. $1. You could be excited. You know, you want to be excited? Good. Excited, don't pay the bills. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. It's like that kid from Family Guy. Pay me money. Pay WWE money. Let's see those revenues go up. Last week, SmackDown, this past Friday, SmackDown went down 100,000 viewers. Expected. People thought the surge last week was simply because of Triple H. No, nitwits, it was SummerSlam. Now the SummerSlam effect goes away. I expect Raw to be down 100,000, 200,000 viewers tonight. Does that mean it was a bad show? No, tonight was a great show. But, you know, let's not over, you know, take this excitement and it's not going to be radical change. You know, you just improve what is there. You make the engine smoother. You make the engine better. You don't dismantle it just to appease a bunch of crybabies online that are never going to be happy. You know when they're happy, everyone? When they think that Triple H is listening to them. Some people out there actually think that, you know, when Triple H and the McMahons, how many times over the years, we hear you, we're listening, we're taking notice, we want to do what you want. It was crying wolf. They want you to believe that. And you know what? That is good in a way. Because the WWE feels, you know, that makes people feel that they're actually contributing and affecting what you see on TV. That person might be more inclined to be a fan. But at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do. You know, right now, they have nobody that they want challenging Bianca Belair other than Rhea Ripley. That is why at Clash at the Castle, we have a six-woman tag match. And that's fine. Bayley making her in-ring return. Dakota Kai, Io Sky, they're teaming up to take on Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka. Awesome. It's going to be a fun match. I hope they put a little stipulation where they can do what they did tonight. They brawled into the crowd. Alexa Bliss diving off of barricades. You know, I'm not saying it. Listen, you don't want to take that AEW formula and everything is hardcore and throw all the rules out and this and that. No, it's got to mean something. If everybody does it, then nobody does it. But the six-woman tag match is fine. But that's 3-4 weeks from now. That's 4 weeks from now. And that also tells you that other than Rhea Ripley, they have nobody on the agenda to face or feud with Bianca Belair. Just Rhea Ripley is not yet 100%. So they're going to take it very slow with Rhea Ripley. And as a result, we get Bianca Belair in a six-woman tag match for Clash at the Castle. So, all right, let's talk about matches from tonight. Let me pull up my notes. Oh, by the way, we got a couple of giveaways later. We have to announce the winner of last week's Guess the Ratings contest. Somebody is going to win an autographed photo of Vince McMahon. Now, it's either that one or it's the other one that I showed you from 2 weeks ago. I got to look and see what I have. But I'm going to announce the winner of the Vince McMahon signed photo from the Guess the Ratings contest for everybody who was live last week that took part. And then later on, we're going to give away this Nikita Lyons signed photo. That is the NXT watch party from last week. And then Friday, we announced for the watch party on Friday, the Dudleys. Someone's going to win this pair of Dudley signed cards. Yes, they are in the plastic. Those are mine. And you go on eBay right now, those are about $150 to $200. You know, right now, they're selling for $140, limited to $299. These are limited to $99. And if you want to be part of these giveaways, hang out, join us in the watch parties. We do it every week. I don't know how much longer we'll be doing them, but, you know, if you want to be part of it, it's free. It's free. All you got to do is show up. So, but let's talk a little bit about Raw. Then we'll do the giveaways. Then we'll talk about Sasha, a little Naomi as well, a couple other news tidbits, and we'll get out of here. So tonight, I think the big buzz was about the women's tag team tournament starting. Dana Brooke versus Tamina, you know, the divorcees taking on Dakota Kai, Io Sky. You know what the outcome was going to be there. I mean, it would be almost career suicide to have Sky and Kai lose. Even if somebody showed up or interfered and caused them to lose, you do not have Tamina and Dana Brooke advance. This match, unfortunately, you know, had its flaws, no question. But in the end, Dakota Kai and Io Sky advance. Next week, we will have, as I said earlier, we're going to have Alexa Bliss and Asuka taking on Nikki Ash and Doudrop. Same scenario there. Very predictable on the left side. You know we're going to get Asuka and Alexa Bliss versus Io Sky and Dakota Kai, especially that we're leading into Clash at the Castle. That's pretty obvious. So now when you realize it, it's going to come down to either Sky and Kai or Asuka and Alexa going to the finals. That you could guarantee. So one of those two tag teams is going to end up going to the finals. On the opposite side, you know, it's a little bit up in the air. I think Natalya and Sonya Deville have a legit chance of advancing. I don't think Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark will. Xia Li and Shotzi, that is going to be interesting because I know they want to try to push Aaliyah, but you know, Nikita Lyons, Lacey Evans, you know, there's buzz online that, you know, Triple H is not into this Lacey Evans character and where it was going. So they have nothing for Lacey Evans right now. I think that is guessing. You know, there was rumors of Lacey Evans having a medical issue. I'm not going to go any further than that because I can't verify it with anyone. Anybody I've asked, they said, you know what, your guess is as good as mine. But, you know, if Lacey Evans, even if they tweak her character and not be so anti, you know, I've done my service and why are you booing me? You know, she could still end up causing Aaliyah a loss. I don't know if I want to see Aaliyah and Raquel Rodriguez advance to the semifinals. But tonight we had Sky and Kai advance. Now, Bayley opened up the show talking about how they want to win, you know, tag titles, improve the women's division. She bashes Alexa, Becky Lynch, telling the fans, asking the fans, you can't all tell me that you enjoy watching Becky Lynch playing dress up every week. She kind of made a little flub calling Dakota Kai, I think Dakota Sky. So she played along with the crowd. She bailed herself out really good. Asuka and Alexa come out and they boast that they're going to win this tournament. And then Bianca Belair comes out and here's where we get the challenge for Clash at the Castle. They have a wild brawl. Great opening for Raw. No question. Great opening for Raw. Yeah, I think Bayley versus Bianca Belair is definitely in the cards. But right now, all signs is that they want Rhea Ripley to be in that position. You know, you look at, by default, 3-on-3, Bayley, Bianca, you feel like it's only a matter of time. The only thing is, that might be a little bit soon. Hell, you know, if you want to close your eyes and picture 2 months from now, you could have Sky and Kai and Bayley having all the gold. You know, with the exception of the SmackDown Women's Championship. That could very well happen. We just got to wait and see. Seth Rollins versus Angelo Dawkins. We've been singing the praise for Angelo Dawkins for a while. That guy, you know, people tonight really going out of their way to show praise for him tonight. That motherfucker has been turning it up for a while now. Ever since all that buzz online, you know, oh, he's the Marty Jannetty of the team. Let me tell you something, that'll light a fire under your ass. You know, Angelo Dawkins is legit. And I'm very happy that they have not split up that team. I don't know what's going to happen with the Usos titles. We've been questioning their decision at SummerSlam to keep it on the Usos. But obviously, there's a bigger picture down the line. But tonight, we had a phenomenal match. Two things I got to show you tonight. One thing is cute. One thing, I still don't even know what the fuck it was. Pay close attention. You see Angelo Dawkins, look to your left. You'll see a little girl go to slap Angelo Dawkins' hand. And it's little things like this that I actually, it puts a smile on my face. I don't have to be this hardcore dick online that, oh, you can't, like, be happy with little things like this. Watch the little kid. See? You just slapped the little kid's hand. Now go watch it back in real time. See? Slaps it. And the little kid, oh, so happy, gives a father a hug. That's awesome, man. That's good shit. I'll always have room in my heart for shit like that. But this, I was totally baffled about. Did you see this? Seth Rollins and Montez Ford having a little bit of an exchange outside the ring. And I'm listening to Jimmy Smith say, oh, this is mind games. I'm trying to understand what the fuck is this as far as mind games. Look at him. It's almost like he's I have to pause it because we don't want any copyright issues here. But you look at Montez Ford, I thought he was doing his best impersonation of Ric Flair in his retirement match. He's grabbing his heart. Look, what the fuck is that? What is that? He's just like, and then if you listen to him, I think we got a little audio clip. Let's see if we can hear it. Fuck, fuck is that? Sorry for everybody in audio only. What the fuck was that? That's like a ghetto Tatanka. I mean, like, I don't know, man. I was watching it. I'm like, how was that? It looked like he was having a seizure. And then after that, for no reason, it's like, anyway, Seth Rollins beats him with the pedigree. Not the curb stop, the pedigree. But after the match was over, Seth Rollins made sure to give Angelo Dawkins a pedigree. Montez Ford hits the ring. Seth Rollins gets out of Dodge. Fine. Now we get the teaser, the split. Seeds planted. Rey and Dominic arguing over Edge. Something that we previewed for a few days now. Edge shows up. Dominic, look, that was an accident last week. You know, I'm sorry. Are we cool? Dom was like nodding his head yes. Then he shoves Edge. Pushes him back. Oh, good. Set of balls. And then Rey. Oh, hey, son. I know this man 20 years. Line of the fucking night. Line of the night. When Rey said, I know this man 20 years. That's my Rey impersonation. Dominic says, oh, yeah, you know me for 25. Ooh, wow. So I've been doing my podcast before Dominic Mysterio was alive? No way. So Dominic with the line of the night, you know me for 25. Dominic is not happy. Dominic storms off. He's so pissed off. You know, we're going to have a match later on, Finn Balor versus Rey Mysterio. They don't know where Dominic is. Edge, I know my son. Let him cool off. He'll be fine. He's just, you know, outside venting like Brock Lesnar did when Vince McMahon announced his retirement. So later on, we have the match. Finn Balor beats Rey Mysterio. Now, during that match, Damian Priest tried to interfere, tripped up Rey. Edge's music hits immediately. Edge and Damian Priest brawl into the crowd. And then ultimately, at the end of the match, Rhea Ripley brings Dominic out on the rampway. Dominic is all beat up, all marks all over his face. Did a great makeup job. Rey looking concerned. Finn Balor cheap shots him from behind. Hits the coup de grace. Match over. Finn Balor defeats Rey Mysterio. And then I said later on, we saw the doctor attending to Dominic. So that idea that Dominic and Rhea, you know, stage that, can't do it. You know, the doctor would have been like, hey, why is this makeup? You know, so, or it would have been great. If you wanted to go that route, it would have been great if the doctor is like, let me put the, don't touch me. You know, so then people could plant seeds all they want. But I liked it. We all know that the split with Dominic and Rey is likely going to happen. This was the right way to go. The minute Rey puts Edge before family, you could hear Dominic's promo. I don't know how good it'll be. He's still young. He'll get better. But you know, you put Edge before familia, and that's the storyline. Very easy to figure it out. That's not even sausage. I mean, that's just common sense, but I loved it. I thought it was excellent. So Finn Balor beats Dominic. Now, as we said earlier with Ezekiel, it was funny because we thought we were going to get Ezekiel versus Kevin Owens. I immediately went on Twitter. I wanted to see all the hardcore AEW douchebags. Look, there's hardcore WWE douchebags and there's hardcore AEW douchebags. I was waiting for all of them to go after Triple H. Oh yeah, change my fucking ass. Kevin Owens already said he's past Elroy, Ezekiel, Elias, Elaine. And then they're doing the match again, but nope. Before the match could start, Kevin Owens beats the balls off of Ezekiel, takes him out, puts him on a stretcher. Kevin Owens, later on, as I showed you that little Easter egg earlier, Kevin Owens says, I've been away for a while, but this is still the KO show. He's back. And we'll see what happens with Ezekiel. Later on, we had, well, actually, this may have actually happened before the match even happened, but Damian Priest challenged Edge for a match in 2 weeks when WWE Raw comes to Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I don't think Edge lives in Canada anymore. I'm not sure. It could be. But basically, Damian Priest says that it's going to be the Rated R Superstar versus the Punishment of Judgment Day. And in Toronto, in front of your family and whatever friends you have left, you may have created or started the Judgment Day, but the Judgment Day is going to end you. So that's what we have looking forward to in 2 weeks. Edge will return to the ring. Totally cool with that. Totally cool. Let's see what other matches we got. We had a pretty loaded card tonight. I put the results in the synopsis here. I mean, we had a lot of matches tonight, and none of them felt like 90-second matches. It felt like it really freaking flowed. And we had backstage segments, so I'm trying to really, like, comprehend how did we get so many additional matches that didn't just feel like a waste of time. Yes, the Omos match, okay. You know, he beat, who did I say he beat earlier? Omos? Shit. What did I put? I put Angelo Spumoni and Matthew A. Ratz. Do you know two wrestling websites already wrote that, oh, the identity of the two opponents for Omos was Matthew A. Ratz, R-A-Z, and Angelo Spumoni. Those names are a figment of my imagination. That's even the right way to put it. Matthew A. Ratz is the formal name of Mataratz, the word I created back in the 90s, Mataratz. Go on Urban Dictionary. For the newer friends out there tuning into the show, I actually created a word 30 years ago that is in Urban Dictionary, and it's got like 1,500 thumbs up. I don't have bots doing it. But, Matthew A. Ratz, for people that don't know, whenever you see me write that name, that is the formal name for Mataratz. Instead of Matt A. Ratz, I put Matthew A. Ratz. Two wrestling websites tonight. The identities of Omos's opponents revealed Matthew A. Ratz and Angelo Spumoni. Spumoni is a fucking ice cream. I love it. Omos squashes two unknowns. WWE did not reveal the identities. Total squash match. Did what it needed to do. You know, people talking about Omos's career up until now, it's under the Triple H regime now. You're going to see things reintroduced, tweaked a little bit. Some might feel that, okay, I'm with you. Omos versus two enhancement talents, you know, really at this point is not needed anymore. But under the Triple H regime, you know, they want to, you know, ease this back in. No complaints whatsoever. As I said earlier, Bobby Lashley retains the United States Championship being Ciampa. It was an excellent match. I have a problem with one part of the match, though. Go back and watch it, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Towards the end of the match, Bobby Lashley hits a spear on Ciampa. Goes for the pin. Miz puts Ciampa's foot on the rope. This proceeds to have AJ Styles come out. Comes out of nowhere, starts wailing on The Miz, and they brawl into the crowd. Now, go back and watch this moment. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Lashley is just watching AJ Styles and The Miz brawl outside. Okay, you took your eye off the match. That's fine. We see it in matches all the time. You know, it's storyline. But Ciampa hit him with an inside cradle, a fruit roll-up. Lashley took his eye off of Ciampa. Ciampa rolled him up, got a two count. Look at Bobby Lashley after the two count. Ciampa didn't hit him with a knee. Ciampa didn't kick him, punch him, didn't hit him with any objects, didn't bash him into a corner post. All Ciampa did was an attempted fruit roll-up. And after the count of two, Bobby Lashley is selling it like he got hit with somebody's finisher. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, why is he selling a fruit roll-up? He looked like he was dazed and confused. Go back and watch it. And then AJ and Miz run back in the ring. The referee looks startled. And once again, Bobby Lashley takes his eye off of the match. Ciampa pulls one of the corner turnbuckles off the pads. He throws Lashley into the exposed turnbuckle, then throws him shoulder first into the post, hits the fairy tale ending just for a two. DDT to Bobby Lashley for a two count. And at this point, I honestly thought if there was any match tonight where you should have got this is awesome chance, when Ciampa hit the DDT and only got the two count, where everybody and their mother thought the match was over, that crowd, I honestly thought we were going to hear awesome chance. We didn't hear it. But ultimately, moments later, Bobby Lashley with the Hurt Lock and defeats Ciampa, retains the championship. Good match. Excellent match. Ciampa definitely won tonight, even though he lost. You know, I really appreciated the crowd showing some respect to him when he showed respect for Harley Race. So, Riddle will be back next week for an interview. And Seth Rollins throwing a lot of darts at Riddle, saying that Riddle is good for flushing his potential down the toilet. Don't believe me? Ask Dana White. That is a true story. It's about 9 or 10 years old, but it is a true story. Go look it up if you want to go check that out. Seth Rollins says he might have to Cody Rhodes Riddle's ass out of the WWE. And then he says, if Riddle has something to say next week, so do I. So, will this set up the match of Clash at the Castle? Yeah, I think so. Ziggler over Chad Gable. Decent match while it lasted. And then we had the main event. AJ Styles beating The Miz in a no disqualification match. This was the result of them brawling earlier. Ciampa did get involved a few times, ate a table as a result. AJ with the Styles Clash on Miz. I wonder how many of you out there thought Logan Paul was going to show up. I honestly thought we might actually hear Logan Paul's music hit. A little surprised that, you know, I know he cut the promo last week. SummerSlam was the week before. In fact, this week I will announce the winners of the predictions contest. I forgot to do it this weekend. I will definitely do it tomorrow. But, you know, I thought, okay, maybe we will hear something with Logan Paul, especially since the storyline is that AJ Styles has been training Logan Paul a little bit. Could this lead to something in Clash at the Castle? Possibly. Speaking of Logan Paul, what do you all think about this? You know, we had a little conversation Saturday where Eric Bischoff explained why he felt AEW is not competition to WWE in any way, shape, or form. Just because they both sell hamburgers doesn't mean they're in competition with each other. Okay, fine. We already talked about that. I already said that I disagree with some of what Bischoff said. But Jim Cornette, on his podcast, and look, when you got millions of people that tune into his show, obviously he's got pull. Jim Cornette, talking about Logan Paul's performance at SummerSlam, he thinks that Logan Paul wrestles better than half of the AEW roster. That might be a little bit too generic of a shot, because if you're talking about elevation and dark, you know, wrestlers, yeah, I think, you know, you could say the same thing for Logan Paul and half of NXT's roster. But what's your take on Logan Paul? Very curious. I mean, do you think that he has the making of being a big star, possibly main eventing a WrestleMania match? Now, obviously, if that happens, it's years away. But I'm curious. You know, I still don't like Logan Paul's character. He comes off as a heel to me. But the fact that he is such a wrestling fan and took this shit so seriously, that gives big, big props to yours truly. And that makes me a fan of him more. It doesn't feel like just a celebrity looking for a huge payday, trying to get some exposure, especially someone that may be in a little bit of a rut. You know, the guy worked his ass off, and it showed. It really showed. So, theme parks with Johnny with the 5-spot, my friend. Did Dexter Lumis show up at the end of Raw, and did security stop him? Yes, it looked like that's what happened. We talked about it earlier, and I'll add a little bit of what I said earlier, because we're talking about that match now. AJ Styles beat The Miz in no DQ. After the match was over, you know, somebody was in the crowd near the front row trying to hit the ring. Security stopped them. And the commentators said something like, what the hell? Now, that's a telltale sign that was a wrestler. Commentators normally will never sell or address a crazy fan doing something stupid at ringside. Obviously, if a fan hits the ring, or remember that time when Seth Rollins got tackled, that is something where you kind of feel like, okay, you got no choice but to make comment about it. But when the commentators tonight made that little remark, seed planted. Car totaled in the back, not total, but ran into a barricade, seed planted. So I ask you, do you think that we will see an NXT invasion storyline on Raw and SmackDown to lead to Survivor Series? This is not news. I have it in the title for tonight's show. I put it in there right before we went live because that's the vibe that I got from that. Why would Dexter Lumis want to go after AJ Styles? But then I'm thinking about Karrion Kross made his return. We talked about it in detail on Saturday. Tremendous. Loved every minute of it. Very, very happy to see him and Scarlett back in WWE. But now, tonight, Dexter Lumis, another person. Now, unfortunately, some wrestlers who were let go are now in AEW, and they're committed to AEW. Now, I hate when I hear, oh, do you think Keith Lee regrets signing with AEW now? Do you think this person regrets it? No, this is business. This is what happens in that world of pro wrestling. You know, there's always time for the future. But if this turns into an invasion storyline, could Johnny Gargano be next? Some people think that Johnny Gargano is going to make his return. You have Io Sky. You have Dakota Kai. Yes, she aligned herself with Bayley, but you get 2-3 more people, and there's your Survivor Series team. The only question is, who's the leader of it? Do you really have Triple H be the leader? I don't know if that's a good idea. And it has nothing really to do with the heart issues, but do you really want the head of creative to do this? I know some people are immediately thinking Bischoff, NWO. Bischoff, executive producer, WCW, then gets infiltrated with the NWO, and he's trying to have NWO overtake WCW, and Bischoff has the stroke to make it happen. The problem is, you don't have the superhero baby faces to overtake a Triple H group. That's Survivor Series match, yes. Survivor Series match, yes. But I don't know if you have Triple H lead an invasion. Plus, you know, I think a lot of people will find it refreshing to see wrestlers from NXT returning and forming an alliance to take down, you know, some of the big wigs, the big time stars in WWE to make an impact. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But we got Karrion Kross, we got Dakota Kai, we got Scarlett, Io Sky, you know, Dexter Lumis, it seems like. If Gargano comes back, you add a couple of more. It's going to be really interesting. So what do you think? Do you think invasion storyline with NXT? What do you call them? What do you call them? And believe me, I don't want to hear black and gold. It's kind of, I don't know. Just because Triple H headed up the black and gold, I don't like that at all. So we got to come up with a little name if that happens. So, oh my God, T. Nancy, we talked about Freddie Prinze running his company like 4 months ago. So, all right. Main event results from tonight. Cedric Alexander over Shelton Benjamin. Yeah, Cedric Alexander took on Shelton Benjamin tonight. And Mustafa Ali over T-Bar. Those were your main event results from tonight. Now, I want to congratulate. Last week we did a Guess the Ratings contest for everybody who was live. All you had to do in the chat was post what you thought last week's Raw rating was going to be. We will do one again in the near future. And the winner was going to get an autographed photo of Vince McMahon. And I checked the live chat from last week. This person is a patron, and he brought it to my attention literally that night. Oh, no, the next night when the rating came out, he's like, I think I won. And, you know, I've had people say that to me before, and I feel awful when I check it. And like, no, you didn't win. But I went back and I looked, and, yeah, he actually won. Rob Cole, congratulations, my friend. I know for people who are watching this with their little iPhones, I got to get used to that. If you notice the difference in the thumbnails, it's because I'm realizing now how many of you tune in with phones. And that's why I try not to put little fine print anymore, because you can't read stuff. But here is enlarged a little bit. Last week's Raw rating was 2,230,000. Rob Cole nailed it. He was exact. He predicted 2,230,000. Can't get any closer than that. So, Rob Cole, congratulations to you. And you win the Vince McMahon photo. Let's do the quick picks for the other two. We'll talk about NXT preview. Quake by the Lake. Oh, my God. And we have to address FTR. We have to address FTR. Definitely need to talk about that. Pretty interesting when we get to that topic. We'll get into that in a moment. But first, let's do this. I'm going to put the wheel on the screen. Now, we got two prizes to give away. And as we did it last week, we're going to do this again. When whoever wins the first prize, we take them off the wheel because we want to obviously, you know, give someone else a chance to win a prize as well. So we will pick first. Let's pick first the Nikita Lyons photo, because obviously NXT aired last week before SmackDown and Rampage. So someone is going to win this Nikita Lyons photo. Let's spin the wheel and let's see who gets the photo. Congrats to whoever wins. Let's spin it. All right. Who's getting the Nikita Lyons signed photo? All right. Let's see who gets it. Who gets it? Oh, wow, that is right on the line. That is right on the line. It is a toss-up between AS7607 and Mikey Ravello. Wow, what do we do? It's on the fucking line again. I hate that shit. Yeah, I think I don't want to start enlarging stuff because I could. All right, so I think AS7607, I think she gets it. I think she does. So I will enlarge it after the show is over and look. But, the more I'm looking at it, I think she got it. You know what? Props to her, because she's gone through a lot of rough shit. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. So nice to see good things happening. So, yeah, the more I look at it, AS7607, good news and bad news. The good news is that you won. The bad news is, you don't take part in the Dudley's cards. So we will take her off the wheel. Now, hey, maybe she's not a fan of Nikita Lyons. You know what? If you don't want the Nikita Lyons photo, if you want someone else instead, AS7607, we could do that. You know, maybe she's not a fan of Nikita Lyons. So if you're listening to this, if there's a different wrestler, and I have, I got Edge, I got Sting, I got CM Punk, I just got Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. Ty Conti just came in. If there's a particular wrestler, you let me know. So, all right, let's spin it again. This time, we're giving away these two Dudley's cards. What you see is what you get. They are in perfect condition. They have been in screw top holders since I've gotten them. And I kind of regret parting with them. But Yeah, Ken, I don't see you on the wheel. I don't think you were around. And some people that only showed up for 5-10 minutes, you know, unfortunately, no. Because there's some people that do that. They show up in the chat, don't say a word, don't mingle, don't do nothing, and then jet away 5 minutes later. That's, yeah, it doesn't work that way. So, all right, good luck. Let's see who gets the Dudleys, and then let's head on over to Sasha Banks. Let's talk about the C2E2 shit. All right, who gets the Dudleys? We know it's not going to be AS7607. That sausage is giving me a little bit of gas from earlier. Who gets it? Who gets it? Sam! Oh, my God. How? Oh, man. If I was Mikey Ravello, I'd be a little fucking pissed right now. I'd be pissed off. Look, it almost did the same thing. Sam gets the Dudleys. Wow, that's pretty funny, man. Mikey Ravello, you got some bad fucking luck. You got some bad luck? Wow, that's pretty funny. Congrats to Sam. All right, very quickly, AEW this Wednesday, Quake by the Lake, Shit by the Pit, Spear by the Pier. How many of you like to do that? Spear someone off a pier? Spear by the Pier. People are starting to get a little bit tired of these names for these Dynamite episodes. You know, like they feel like this is how they could get them to stand out, that they're using all of these names. I really don't think that's much of a big deal, but this is what we have advertised for Wednesday. We have a coffin match with Brody King versus Darby Allin, the Lucha Bros versus Andrade and Rush in a, I believe it's a tornado tag match, John Moxley versus Chris Jericho for the interim world championship, Jade Cargill versus Madison Rayne for the TBS championship, and the return of FTR. Pretty interesting, isn't it? I know it's coincidence. It's only coincidence. But we have noticed that every time we start putting in titles people who are not being used that should be in AEW, they magically show up the following week. That Jay Lethal time was pretty funny. We talked earlier this week about FTR and the futility. I wrote it yesterday. Actually, I wrote it, I think, in the middle of last week, too. The number of matches that FTR have had since the end of June in AEW, zero. Yes, they had the Ring of Honor match, but until I see Ring of Honor having some house shows, not just one show every 4 months, that is a promotion that is dead. It is on hiatus. Just because the titles are on TV, there's no promotion. There is none. Having a show every 4 months is not a fucking promotion. And sorry, I am a huge fan of FTR. But when FTR wrestles zero matches, maybe if you want to say one since the end of June for AEW, that doesn't make you the number one tag team in the world. That's not their fault. I want to make it clear, it's not their fault. I bring up the Usos. Every goddamn week, the Usos are on TV, and people don't get bored. When you have someone who works every single week on TV, every single week, and not just Dasha's in the back with FTR. FTR, what do you have to say? Look at Miro. Miro is next on our list, everybody. Miro. We've joked about it now. Miro has had maybe 3 matches in the last couple of months. He's back from injury. You realize now, next week will be 3 weeks since Miro showed up with those dual-colored glasses, staring at Malakai Black, and then 3 weeks before that, and it's going to be 3 weeks after that, all we have is the Redeemer, God, the Redeemer, the Redeemer. It's not his fault. I'm a huge fan of Miro, but he shows up. Malakai Black shows a smirk. He's off TV again for 3 weeks. Oh, but he cut a promo. Let's see what Miro has to say. The Redeemer, the Redeemer. He's done nothing. So now Miro is the next on our queue, which means Miro will be on TV next week. If fucking Miro shows up next week in the ring on TV, then I'll say, okay, it's a little more than coincidence. But, you know, with all due respect, I mean, I heard the controversy. You know, Cornette brought it up. Meltzer brought up the opposite. And I think Dax Harwood told Meltzer, fuck off, you know, ask us for our side, you know, but he didn't even do that. I don't know what the truth is and what isn't, but Cornette feels that the Young Bucks didn't give that opportunity to give the tag belts to FTR. And I've said this too. FTR's got the Ring of Honor titles, the IWGP titles, and with the Ring of Honor, IWGP, and the AAA. They don't have the AEW. So you could put six fucking belts on them, Tony Khan, but they don't have the AEW tag titles. And then the Young Bucks pass it to Swerve and Keith Lee, which I love that tag team. But you could show off everybody else's belts. The FTR belt is an unsanctioned belt, but you sure have a lot of cum over that, celebrating that shit, gushing over it. The announcers last week making that belt feel so prestigious. What the fuck is that belt being defended on your TV if it's not a sanctioned belt? You know, so you could masquerade, have people come out with trophies and titles for other feds. I look at who has the AEW championships, and FTR doesn't have them. The number one tag team in the world that should be undisputed, number one tag team in the world, and you're doing nothing with them. Doing nothing with them. So now they're going to be back in the ring Wednesday. Understand, they're done next to nothing. I mean, a pay-per-view match, Briscoe's phenomenal. But what happens 3-4 weeks before it, and what happens 3-4 weeks after it? Nothing. Miro is the next one on the list. I wanted to say Lance Archer, but Lance Archer is killing it in Japan right now. So Lance Archer, you know, before anybody starts focusing on him, he's in Japan killing it. So, all right, NXT tomorrow. You know why I'm doing it. We got Nikita Lyons versus Kiana James. We got Wes Lee versus Trick Williams in a boxing match. We have Zoe Stark versus Cora Jade. And the final accord, Tony D'Angelo versus Santos Escobar. I live in Howard Beach, Queens. Members of John Gotti's family went to my wedding in 1999. I have got pictures of me in the Daily News delivering catering to his house when he got acquitted, I think in like 1990 or 89, whatever it is. I have friends that were connected. I got friends who thought they were connected, but weren't. They were cardboard gangsters. And I will tell you, especially where I live, believe me, I don't know anybody in my entire life that has ever been connected or thinks they're connected that ever used the word accord. You know, the whole storyline is just asinine stupid. You could tell that whoever's writing it doesn't even probably know how to say, you know, prosciutto. They probably will. I could picture Shawn Michaels. Here, give me half a pound of prosciutto ham. Give me a half a pound of, what's another good one that they always mispronounce? Soprasata or capicola. That's a good one. Give me some hot capicola. It's not capicola. It's gabagol. Gabagol. Who the fuck says, hey, Santos, I'm sick of your shit, Santos. I say, look, I leave my people home, you leave your people home. Next week, one-on-one, you and me, no one else, the final accord. Let me tell you something. If I was Tony D'Angelo and I went back to my neighborhood, hey, Tony, did you take care of Santos? Yeah, I took care of Santos. What are you doing? Next week, I'm going to take his head off. I'm going to take that fucking guy. I'm going to take his head off. We're going to face each other. One final accord. One what? You heard me. One final accord. Huh? That motherfucker would show up next week. You'd think Joey 924 was visiting the NXT arena. Awful. Awful. I mispronounce words too, Benjamin, but I don't mispronounce my Italian words because I'm Italian. All right. So that's what we got looking forward to tomorrow. Hey, how you doing? Hey, we'll see one final accord tomorrow. Tony D'Angelo, Santos Escobar, eh? All right. SmackDown, as we said earlier, dropped 100,000 viewers from the week before. 2,093,000, still an excellent number. Rampage scored 468. Nice improvement. Moxley versus Mance Warner. Yeah, that should spark 90,000 viewership increase. I still think Rampage needs to go to 7 o'clock Friday nights. Tony, get it done. Impact Wrestling 115, stuck in the mud, unfortunately. I don't know what you could do with Impact to, I mean, it's a shame. And New Japan, their ratings are so low on Access, nobody reports them anymore. This reminds me back in the day when, you know, like, I think it was AAA, it might have been, but the ratings got so low on Telemundo that they would actually put 0.00. I kid you not. Back in the day, they used to put 0.0. It sounded like something from Animal House. And that's how low the ratings are. Nobody reports the New Japan rating. They got no bounce whatsoever. They're preparing a show in the United States, and they're setting up the building for, like, I think 500 people. They got no bounce whatsoever. Horrible. And it's a shame. It's a shame. I mean, you know, if I'm New Japan, I would be freaking frustrated. I would be frustrated after all of this, no bounce. Impact Wrestling got damaged from the AEW stuff. AEW would shine from it. AEW benefited from everything Forbidden Door because of COVID. So, all right. We're at 72 minutes. We'll get done within 90. I want to finish up tonight's show talking about Sasha Banks. Now, disclaimer, as I said before, I photoshopped this to purposely make it 6 feet apart because, no, Sasha Banks was not 6 feet apart from fans. But there is no question that Sasha Banks stirred up a lot of controversy on Saturday. And I have some photos. Now, you know, one cool photo that I wanted to share with you, here is Sasha Banks Sunday night with Trish Stratus and Naomi. Actually, this was Sunday afternoon, I believe, before they did night two of the signing. But they were hanging out before they set up the booths. Pretty cool. Now, Naomi, now, because if you look at this guy, I feel bad for this guy. I'm not using him. I just, the look on his face, I felt so bad for him. I almost want to PayPal him $70, you know. But then I remembered it's Photoshopped. It's not as bad as it looks. But this same guy took a picture with Naomi, and there you go. You know, nothing rude. You know, no grabbing, no nothing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I had a few of you who went to C2E2. Some of you sent me your photos. A few of you said, please don't make them public because they know they circulate everywhere. But a few of you told me that, with all due respect, some people who showed up at C2E2 smelled like ass. They smelled like they haven't showered for days. And I think back to, like, wrestling events. I think back to other conventions. There were a few people that were complaining at StarCast. They walked around and it smelled like dirty armpits. So, do I think that smell played a factor with some of these people? I have no idea. I have no idea. But I want to say this. I want to say this. Okay, for those that don't know. Okay, for those that don't know. This is probably one of the best, closest photos from Saturday. Okay, let's zoom in. Hold on. There you go. All right. No, 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 no. We don't want to keep playing. Hold on. We don't want this to play. Okay, let's. Okay, good. All right, so here we go. All right. That's night one of StarCast. For the people out there that were saying that Sasha Banks was seen hugging women, but completely social distancing from men, here is one of many photos circulating where maybe she identifies as a man, the girl on the right. I don't think so. And Sasha Banks was still distancing. All right. These are some of the photos from Saturday. This guy, and you know what? I got an email. Let me see if I could pull it up really quick. Yeah, I can. I'm going to pull this up. I'm downloading it right now. I'm going to put it on the screen. All right. I want to put this on the screen. Let's take this off for a minute. I want to put this photo on the screen. I want you to see something. All right. This will take me literally 2 seconds, but this was a fan that really spoke out about this. And I'm sorry. I'm not trying to throw any shade on this fan, but since he put it out there, he's asking, you know, giving his honest take about the money he spent for Sasha Banks. And I want to ask you, honestly, whether you like Sasha Banks or you don't, put that bias aside for a minute and ask yourself, you know, do you agree with this guy? All right. This guy, his name is Kion Anderson. Looks like a cool guy. He paid $130 to take a picture with Sasha Banks and Naomi. Now, we talked about the prices. People knew what they were paying for. Now, he writes, now, if you see the picture on the screen, Sasha is probably about, I don't know, what would you say, 3 feet away, 2.5 feet away? I think 2.5 feet away is pretty fair. Yeah, you know, about 2.5 feet. So he writes, this is his exact words. Cost was $130 for this duo pick. While I was happy to be in a room with them, the distance thing was a shock and not the experience I was expecting. I saw the pictures of them hugging women, and I did not need to touch them, but standing next to them would have been nice. Guys, how do you feel about that? Now, this is my honest take about this. This is my honest take. We're still in COVID. I know we're tired of COVID, but we're still in COVID. You have monkeypox that everybody is concerned about as well. We don't know Sasha Banks' immune system. We don't know how she feels about COVID at this point. Me, my feeling is, you know what? I never caught it. I've been vaccinated. Sure, vaccinating doesn't prevent you from getting it, but it helps fight it off if you do get it. But I feel after all this time, whatever I've been doing has been working. I don't look at people in the face. I have people close to me, but I usually will talk in a different direction. Most people don't even realize I'm doing it, but I try not to go face to face when I'm having conversation because I don't want spit flying through the air, you know, and like, hey, let me go dip into Don Tony's nasal passages. I'm not nervous about COVID anymore. If I get it, I get it. What am I going to do? But I'm not nervous. But I know a lot of people that are still very fucking nervous. I showed you on my social media, my fiance, last Sunday when we got the when we reserved the limo for our wedding. Inside the limo is just me, my fiance, and the woman from the limo company. Go look at my Twitter, at Don Tony D. Look at the tweet from last Sunday. If you look at it, I came off as a dick. And I was like, hey, everybody, check out the limo. Honey, why are you wearing a mask? My fiance still wears a mask almost everywhere. When I leave my house to walk to the parking lot to get in my car with her, she will wear a mask between my house and the parking lot, even if there's nobody around. She has this fear that it could somehow be flying through the air or caught in the breeze. I respect that. There are a lot of people that are very nervous about COVID. And I personally think that if Sasha Banks was very nervous about getting close to people that she doesn't know, remember, we saw her at a concert and she was around people. We saw her at a sports event. She was around people. Here, she was very nervous. I blame that on C2E2. I blame that on C2E2 because if you're in the COVID era, and you have to take some safety measures, you have to let your customers know, especially when they're paying premium money to meet someone. If that person has a little bit of a special demand, you see like Undertaker? Remember when we looked at the autographs a couple of weeks ago? He will not sign anything 1991. He will not sign this. He won't do this. Don't even ask about this. C2E2 had a list of things that Undertaker will not sign. If Sasha Banks, and let me tell you something, There is no way that Sasha Banks did not tell C2E2 that, look, you know, I want to keep my distance from people. I'm a little bit nervous still from COVID. I don't want to take chances. That is something that should have been put on a disclaimer. And I think C2E2 intentionally left that off because they didn't want to lose sales. I blame this solely on C2E2. Now, when you look at some of these pictures with Sasha, now this is night one. This is night one. Look closely. If you look at some of these pictures, she's distanced pretty, you know, a good portion away. All right? That's the photo that I photoshopped. Is it that bad? It's not bad. But these are the pictures that she took. That's the distance for the most part. Now, when people saw her getting close to women, I just showed you pictures of her distancing from women. Here you go. Same night. Look at the distance. This is what I was told about Sasha Banks at C2E2, straight from people that were there and one person who worked there. Doesn't know Sasha Banks. I want to make that clear. This is not from Sasha Banks. What I was told was that Sasha Banks was very nervous about COVID and is a little bit uncomfortable being around people, large gatherings, because of COVID. Yes, I know what you're going to say. Concert, this. Okay, fine. Understand that when she's at the concert, the people that are around her are not just random people. These are people in her inner circle. Okay, fine. As the night went on, she started to get more and more relaxed. Someone also told me that Sasha Banks was surfing social media Saturday night and started, or Saturday afternoon, and started seeing a lot of the lashback about her socially distancing, especially when Naomi was not. You know, here's Naomi with the same guy I showed you earlier. All right, so she started seeing all the criticism. She started to feel a little bit more comfortable. She was taking measures not to be directly in someone's face. These are two people who looked at the camera, didn't talk, didn't socialize. Chances of getting COVID that way is very slim to none. As the night went on, Sasha Banks got more comfortable. Now, yes, I feel bad for the people that were there early, that unfortunately were right at the beginning. Sasha Banks, much more nervous, much more careful, cautious. And as a result, you saw the pitches that you saw. But by night two, here is night two. Actually, hold on. Here's a better. That's night two. Okay? Not as far away and a little bit creative. If you look at the pictures, you know, she made that guy's day. I mean, look, everybody pretty much, look, there you go. So the next day, she was much more relaxed. But you see the pose? That's a very, very safe pose. No touching. There's no touching at all. Yeah. So this is a case where, again, I can't find fault in anybody who is still extremely nervous about COVID. You know, not everybody, and look, she, for all we know, she could have people that were very close to her that may have been very seriously stricken because of COVID. She might, you know, whatever the case is, you have to respect people who are still very, very nervous about COVID that want to protect their boundaries. But again, C2E2 should have gone out of their way and note that they would be so stiff. And look, let's also be honest. Let's be honest. You know as well as I do that before C2E2 happened, there would have been enough people to see Sasha Banks. They wouldn't have lost any money. But just imagine how the IWC would have handled it if Trinity Fatu, as she was advertised, had no restrictions, and then advertising Sasha Banks, Mercedes, and it says underneath that there will be a 3-foot or 2-foot social distancing between anybody who takes a picture with Sasha. Imagine how the IWC would have handled that. Like, look at this prima donna. Look at this. She, remember all the controversy from years back that she wouldn't hug people, she wouldn't come close to people. Now, she's got a history of that. Now you add COVID into it. Are you surprised? Not surprised at all. I don't think this is Sasha Banks being so into herself that, you know, she's that much of a diva that she's got to keep her distance from some people. I don't buy it at all. It is strictly because of risk from COVID and other things. I can't criticize anybody who feels that way still, you know, but it should have been C2E2 that should have put a disclaimer. And look, if you're going to agree to do an autograph signing, no matter how big you are or how low you are in the food chain, if you have a restriction or a request like this, you got to take the good with the bad. If there was fear like, oh, she's going to get ripped apart on social media, if this is too bad, too bad. If I go out in public and I'm going to go to somewhere and I'm going to be the focal point of whatever it is, and I'm going to put all these restrictions on people who are going to pay top dollar to meet me, they have a right to know. They have a right to know whatever my restrictions are. You know, you must wear a mask if you come close to Sasha. That probably could have been, you take the mask off for the picture. But anything else, when you get the photo, you have to wear a mask. Okay, I know it sounds ridiculous, but, you know, they should have put a guideline. But overall, though, like I said, she got more relaxed. And by night two, this was not an issue. This was not an issue. Now, I saw this come in a little bit earlier, and I'm going to address this because this was sort of a topic we talked about yesterday. Big Sal, I don't know if you tuned into yesterday's show. Thank you for the 20 spot. Thoughts on the plastic surgery shaming haters have been giving Sasha the last few days. All right. If you look at all the photos floating around, there's a good one. A lot of people think that Sasha Banks had plastic surgery. My reaction to it is, yeah, so what? If she had plastic surgery, that is her right to do it. If you're asking me honestly how I feel about it, number one, we don't know. You know, she dropped the titles in May. June, July, August, September is coming up. Hasn't been that long ago. I don't know if people understand when you get plastic surgery, it doesn't like clear up in 3 days as far as I know. I think that there's bruising and other stuff, and she's been seen out in public. I personally think, honestly, everyone, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, so be it. I personally think this is simply a case of her with some tremendous makeup being done, and she could have dropped a little bit of weight. If you go carnivore, which is a very popular diet right now, or you go keto, or if you fast and you really start dropping body fat, sure, it could definitely affect your face. I don't see anything wrong with Sasha Banks whatsoever. And I don't know if she had plastic surgery. My gut feeling tells me that she did not. She did not. I think this is because of all of the makeup. You know, her eyes look a little bit different. Her cheekbones look a little bit different. But I really don't see that she did. As far as people that were shaming her, they don't even know if she had plastic surgery. And honestly, I think that's just jealousy. You know, because, you know, there's a lot of people, especially in Hollywood, that have had plastic surgery. Some people way too much. And to even focus on that, it just, what it feels like is, they can't find something else to criticize Sasha Banks for. So this is their latest ammunition. I purposely just ignore that noise, to be honest with you. I ignore that noise. So that's my honest take about that. But yeah, rest in peace, Olivia Newton-John. I mean, this is a wrestling show. That's why I really didn't talk about it. But I do know that two people sent me messages, emails, for Thursday's mailbag, and I'll definitely talk about it on Thursday a little bit more. I will tell everyone out there, Olivia Newton-John was my first crush as a, you know, probably too young. You know, I mean, I didn't see Grease when it came out in 1978. My mom saw it, but I watched it on TV probably in like 81, 82. And she probably was my first crush. No joke. Not when she had the big bouffant at the end of Grease, but when she was in the car at the drive-in movie or whatever it was, and she had like the pigtails. Yeah, I honestly, I'm not kidding. I think Olivia Newton-John was my first ever crush as a very, 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 very young Don Tony. So I will talk about her on Thursday. But could she have had a hair transplant, had some extensions? Sure, sure. Sasha Banks is a celebrity. She went over and beyond this weekend. Sure, that social distancing early on was an issue, but you know, you really go look at her overall, she was into this. And believe me, I think the amount of money that she has in the bank, I don't think C2E2 was gonna, you know, affect that in a gigantic way. But she was having a blast. Just like I said, that I think is more the fault of C2E2 than anything else. And if C2E2 kept that private to avoid criticism towards Sasha, that's still on C2E2, in my opinion. I do not believe that Sasha walked into C2E2, sat in a chair, and didn't tell anybody running the place, oh, look, anybody that comes up, nope, they got to be 2-3 feet away. Nope, 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 nope. I don't buy that. I don't buy it. These are professionals. These are people who have been at appearances. They know exactly what they're doing. So I can't crap on her. So, all right. Theme Parks, thank you very much. He said that I am right about Dexter Lumis. WWE posted a video on YouTube of him. So awesome. Awesome. I was going into tonight's show talking about Fightful's report that WWE was looking to bring him back. I am a huge fan of Dexter Lumis. That is a character that honestly, look, I could understand after a while WWE didn't know what to do with Bray Wyatt. I could understand WWE did not know how to handle Karrion Kross. I could understand some people, they just didn't have a clue. I don't understand Dexter Lumis. Did they think that it was going to be too much like The Undertaker? I mean, the guy was tremendous in NXT. And it almost feels, it's almost like the same logic of taking Theory's first name away from him. It almost feels like Vince McMahon's love for some of these Hall of Famers like Undertaker, Steve Austin, and others, that you can't remotely, you know, have a name similar, be this, be that. Once Steve Austin was going to be at WrestleMania, you know, once there was buzz about that, Theory lost his first name. And it almost feels like Dexter Lumis, the way his mannerisms, the way he didn't react, he didn't have emotion. He didn't look like The Undertaker. He didn't, well, maybe with some of his punches, but it almost felt like you could pitch a Vince McMahon, I don't want anything resembling The Undertaker in any way. You know, it almost feels like that could have been the case. I wouldn't be shocked if some news place out there just writes bullshit and says, our sources tell us that Vince McMahon, the reason why Vince McMahon didn't want to push Dexter Lumis because his mannerisms were too resembling of The Undertaker. Very easy to put out there. So I'm glad he's back. Glad he's back. Do you revisit the Indy Hartwell stuff? No. That story is long gone. And you kind of feel bad for Indy Hartwell because she's still stuck in NXT. And I don't see her going to the main roster anytime soon. So, okay. With that said, I think we are done. I'm looking at my notes. Yeah, I think we are done. So I want to thank you for joining me tonight for this post-Raw show. If you have any questions that you want me to answer for this week's mailbag, remember, every 2 weeks on Thursday, we stream the mailbag. You can either email me, dontony@dontony.com, or right now, you could go to the community section on YouTube. There is a thread there. You could post your question. You could ask me anything. wrestling, non-wrestling. You want me to comment about Trump's, you know, raid at his house? You want me to talk about a living? I don't care. Anything that's on your mind. Just all I ask is if you get a postmortem one question, you know, give me something that I can answer awfully quick, because we want to spread out the questions evenly. Some people think that I should spend 15, 20 minutes on just their stuff, and I can't do that. It's not fair to everyone else who tunes in. So just remember that there's a lot of other people asking questions. And I got news for you. The mailbag we did 2 weeks ago was tremendous. Everybody respected that, and it was awesome. It was really a lot of fun to record. I'm going to be recording it Wednesday afternoon, probably about 2-3 hours before Dynamite starts. So get your questions in by lunchtime Wednesday if you want it answered on Thursday's mailbag. So other than that, enjoy NXT tomorrow. Enjoy AEW Dynamite on Wednesday. I'll be here Wednesday night after Dynamite for your regular Wednesday night Dynamite show. And then we have Thursday's mailbag. And then, you know, remember the watch parties this week. We got a watch party tomorrow for NXT if you want to stop by for a little while. And then we have one Friday for Dynamite and Rampage. So everyone, on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's episode, smash that thumbs up. It does help. You'd be surprised how much it does. If you know anyone out there that would enjoy the channel, let them know about it. It's free. Subscribe. And I'm out of here. Night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.